So I want to go through a case. This is one, some of you were here last time. We talked a little bit about this one, but about 60% of you are new. So I want to go through this one because this is one that all of you could do if you wanted to. And it doesn't have to be in Youngstown, Ohio. It could be anywhere in Middle America. It could be, literally, it could be here locally, but you wouldn't have the same numbers, right? But this was a note. It was kind of a throw-in as part of a pool. And I kind of thought, we're going to take a bath on this one, right? So we actually bought this note. It was a two-bedroom, one-bath, 800-square-foot house in Youngstown, Ohio. Right? The crime rate in Youngstown is a little higher. This was in a decent part of Youngstown, like a little eight-block area where people said, oh, this is like a great little neighborhood. You know, and it's just what the boots on the ground are telling me, right? So we paid $9,000 for this. And then we found out, in fact, let me just go through. I think we got it there. So this is just what we knew before we bought, right? So the first lien balance, we bought the first mortgage. So we bought the first mortgage. It was obviously in default. It was a non-performing note. That's what they owed, right? Plus arrearages. So that's just the UPV that we made a buying decision on. It was vacant. They had, what does that tell you if it's vacant? They're out, right? They've let go of it, right? Now look at, is there something wrong with this house? In terms of value and what's owed? You know what I mean? So it's like, that's what it was worth. So a home in San Diego, you know, I could buy, for the same price as you buy a bread and butter home, you can buy 20 of these things. It just blew my mind that it was even possible. But here's the situation we had. As you guys are already ahead of me, but there was a divorce. Right, and the husband wanted to do a deed in lieu with us to kind of make this go away and not have a foreclosure credit. The wife wouldn't even return. Like we tried, we sent people with paperwork, did everything to just try to make this happen. Wasn't happening. Median rents, $550 to $600. Why would I care about that? What are my potential exits on this? So the property tax, the hedge fund, at the time of purchase, right, the hedge fund had paid the taxes for that year. So we went and double checked that. So when I paid $9,000, it was $9,000. Right, that's what we did. So now look, any questions on that right now about so far about that? Y'all got it? Go ahead.
So this was in a pool and you had the option to buy it or not buy it?
No, well, it was a four notes that they wanted to sell us as a package.
Okay.
Right, so the smaller deal, I can't remember. I think it was $53,000 they were asking. And I think we got it for 49 or 50, something like that. We discounted them a little bit, but they were pretty firm on their pricing. We made money on some of the other ones, but I thought this would be one that would pull the pool return down. But let's just go through and see what happened. So initially, I was just wanting to get it foreclosed and sell it, cash. Just get my money back, right? And has anyone in here, have any seasoned veterans with land contracts? That have used land contracts before? Have you done that before? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't. I hadn't used any land contracts. And they're pretty common in the Midwest, right? And in the state of Ohio, you've got a similar situation with lease options where they could consider it equitable title or an interest in the property. So it could hold up a foreclosure. But in Ohio, you don't need to foreclose because a land contract title doesn't pass, right, until all the payments of the land contract are current, like they've been paid off, then you would pass title, right? Why is that important? Do I have to foreclose?
No,
it'd be an eviction, right? And so I'm like, wow, that's pretty slick, right? And so I'm sitting there saying, and we actually had a gentleman, I had this asset, and this is a reason why you either put on events, host events, or attend events, right? So we had a guy come to our summit, and he was in Warren, Ohio. Flew out from Warren, Ohio, heard about our summit, I don't know who from. I think it was at another event he was at. And he lived 20 minutes from this asset. And I had heard he was from Warren, Ohio, and I said, is that near Youngstown? And I hadn't even really looked, I didn't know my geography or anything. And he says, actually, it's 20 minutes, would you like me to drive by the house? I'm like, well, yeah, I'd love you to drive by the house. And this guy ran rent-to-own stores, like for other stuff. Right, and so he said, he understood the whole rent-to-own thing and land contracts, and they've been doing a bunch of other ones. And so I talked to him, because where am I? Am I on the ground? No. But with technology, can I know the exact status of that asset? No. Just like that? He drove by for me as soon as he got back. show things. So what we ended up doing on that, and he actually suggested this, and I'm glad he did, because it completely changed the profit on this deal, right? So sell the land contract with owner financing, no bank needed to accredit challenged aspiring homeowner. Are there any of those out there with this last foreclosure rush, right? They got some money. I'm telling you, there are a ton of them out there, right? And it's up to you to do that. So I just wanted to show you this. So here's the numbers just on this deal. So it actually, Ohio, it took us a while to foreclose, and I wasn't like on it like I should have been. So I probably added 60 days to the process, you know, and I finally just turned this asset over to our new asset manager that came on, and all of a sudden it got done a lot faster, right? You know, but we ended up having to pay a property tax payment for the year because we held it for a year during the foreclosure process. And then just to get it ready for sale and showing, we ran a Craigslist ad, and I knew it was high 40s. I think I said over 50 inquiries, and Kristen reminded me after I got done talking, it was like 46, I can't remember what it was, something like that. And but it was a great little ad. We had lots of interest in it. And what we ended up doing, so all in, right, all in was 13,689. We had actually had 15,689 in, but we got $2,000 down on the land contract payment. And we sold it on contract for 39,800, right? And what blows my mind is in this land contract, the taxes and insurance are their responsibility, right? So that's interesting. They don't have a title, but they have to come out of pocket for those. It's kind of a unique little vehicle. I love it. I'm all in on the land contract, right? So you guys see that monthly payment there? So who just, real quick, if you guys want to be actively involved, I know it's after lunch, just pull out your 10b-2. Let's all go through it real quick. Verify those numbers for me. Did I do it right? Who's got it? So what's the loan amount? What's PV?
37,800.
Put it in, 37,800. Type it in. Hit present value. What's the term? 120 months, so type in 120, then hit N. What's the future value? After 120 months, will this loan be paid off? Future value, zero. And what's my interest rate? 10%. So is that, did I do the payment right? So 120 payments at 499.38. Did I do it right? You guys all got that. If you didn't get that, 53. Are you serious? Where's my edits, John? Get on that. Will you fix that for me in the slides?
Sure.
49. What is it? 499. 53. Everyone get 53.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's why I had you guys do it, to double check my math. All right, so that's in there. So that's interesting. So just without, forget that last little clause at the bottom just for a minute. If it was your 13,689 and you got that over the next 10 years, what's your yield? So I want you, how you guys want to figure that? I want to teach you guys how to figure that yield right now. So type in 13,689, leave those numbers in, type in 13,689.61. And that's your new PV. That's your new present value of what you have in the deal. So reset your PV. So say 13,689 and hit PV. So now what do we want to know? What our yield is. It's just the payment's not changing, right? Payments stay the same. So hit I/year. What does it do?
4256.
Do I have that wrong too?
4256. The other one's up.
You guys are killing me. I'm feeling like I'm misrepresenting up here. This isn't good. Right? So is that my yield?
Yeah.
How many of you would be okay with a 43% rate of return? One guy. That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, how many would be interested in that type of yield? Okay, we got 50-60%. I'm better. Hopefully this gets better. All right, so really quick. Now, this is really cool. I told some of you when I was up here, you know, remember we talked about affinity, right? You know, I have some professional basketball players. I'm trying to break into that higher tier where the NBA guys play. They all have agents that really protect them, and, you know, they manage all their assets and stuff. But the lower tier, some of their agents aren't set up to manage assets and stuff. And so we have some tier 2 and tier 3 clients. We had one, they won the championship in Mexico, and he got a little kicker when they won the championship. So he already had a sum of money with us, and he came back and had another little chunk. And look what we ended up doing with him. So I actually ran, so I want you to do this now, because we're gonna keep all those same numbers in, right? So I wanted to get cashed out. I wanted my money out of the deal. And I still wanted to, and I went, you know, we gotta have a little bit of jingle, right, too, to pay some bills, right? So what did we do? So I hit 20K, we took 10%, so do 20,000, right? Do 20,000, I wanna, like, we're structuring his note and a little deal sheet for him to show him and slide across the table, here's a deal opportunity we have available, are you interested? You guys can do this, it's not hard to present the capital. So here's what we did, 20,000, put present value, type present value, then put 10, I/R, 120 is gonna stay the same because I want him to amortize at the same time. I don't wanna owe him money and have the title pass and I still have a lien to him, right? So I wanted to amortize it so they both pay off at the same time. So what's his payment? Did I get this one right? Tell me I got one right. Did
yes.
I get one right?
Yes.
So the payment to him, what does that represent? So he gave me 20,000 as a private lender, came in, we're gonna secure it, right, to this asset at 10%. He's pretty happy. Somebody asked me if people do private loans with us, you know, what can they earn a double digit? He literally is gonna go play another three seasons. He worked in our office, I think he came just at, even before you came, actually. So he came in for an internship while I was there, got his real estate license.
I actually met him last summer when you helped
us. You did meet Justin. Okay, yeah. Real cool. Yeah. So he's heavily invested with his retirement with us. So we're excited. This is one little chunk. But he did that, learned all about notes, was fired up, went to the summit. He's like, this is awesome. Since brought to him his teammates back. You guys got to put some money away, right? So what happened? So he's gonna get 264. Did you guys all get that number?
Yep.
So that money, when my 499 comes in now, I gotta give him 264, right?
Oh.
And what do I get to keep?
235.
And how much do I have in the deal? Nothing. In fact,
you got money coming.
So this is actually not correct because we had a little bit to fund the people who recorded and wrote it up. So it's just under 6,000, right? But you see where I'm going there? Could you guys do this deal?
Yeah.
How many people do you know in your cell phone that got 20 grand that's just laying there idle? I'm telling you, like, there's four hands that went up. I'm telling you, 100% of you, it's sitting in their prior 401k that's sitting there in stocks and bonds. They have no idea what's going on. It needs to get rolled over to a self-directed IRA, and they need to invest with you because you have specialized knowledge about how to create deals like this that are safe and secure. The stock market's trading at an all-time high, right?
Yeah.
Is it due for a correction?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What are the chances of that thing correcting?
100%.
100%. I mean, do you guys understand the position you're in? Like, this is amazing. Like, it's like, really, the only reason you can't make money right now is because you, no, I won't say because you're lazy. The only reason a person in this market, let's third party this so it feels better to everyone, right? It's because they're lazy, right? It's because they're lazy. I truly believe that. We got a hand for a question. Go ahead.
So in order to do something like this, would we joint venture with the money people and then come to you?
Did I have to? If you don't have the money, if you don't have the money, then you'd be cutting them in on this structure, right? So you're going to have acquisition money, and this would be called takeout money. Does that make sense? So I had the money, so that's acquisition money, to do all this. I had to pay the attorney, had to pay to get the property preserved so it didn't get wrecked, right? Does that make sense? And then this is takeout money. This is your permanent financing. You guys have heard that term, long-term financing. And if he comes back to me and he says, Trav, he doesn't need the money, right? If he needs the money, he signed on the contract to stay in, but if he needed the money and gave me 6 months, could I go sell his position?
Sure.
Could I get him liquid?
Yeah.
Right? Do I have to get him his full amount of money? He might need a discount, right? But typically I'd try to help him, because this is still going, I'm happy. I want someone else. I'll tell you, you're not gonna get 5 to 7 phone calls in, and you'll have someone that wants to take his spot. Question?
I'm gonna answer my question.
Okay, good, question.
is it possible actually to do 10% on interest only to the private lender versus fully amortized? So that way it will be another probably $50-$60 more to your end.
To our end?
Yeah, and one day anyway will be either refi or sold. That property will
so be sold. Let's talk about this really quick. Julian's bringing up a question. Could you do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why can you do that? Because you're the boss, right?
Right.
What's the danger in doing that?
No.
So why would this person refi this loan? Could they refi the loan? Could they go out and get another FHA product or something, right? Values would have to come up because it's probably not going to appraise, right? But what happens if I structure interest only and the loan to my homeowner is amortizing?
You're going to have to bring money to the table.
When it comes time, I got to come out of pocket 20 grand.
Yeah.
And so I'm living off, it's like living off borrowed money, right? So if you can totally do it, and I know guys that will do that to get their passive income up quickly so that they're free, and then now they can go start now, okay, now I'm good, now let me amortize like crazy to pay off all my assets and be free and clear. So you can do it. I'm just saying, there's strategy to it. So you can definitely do it. There's just strategy to do it. You guys all follow what is a really good question. You could totally do it and keep more passive income. Why would that be beneficial in the short term? Because if I'm just stacking and my number's 5 grand a month that I need to get to quickly to be free and do this full time, right? And I structure all these on interest only, right? Now that I'm free, I can go have more time to do more of these, and then I could eventually just pay them all down quicker, create stuff. But there is some risk to doing that. If you want, I'm more conservative, right, in terms of when I take on other people's money, I want them to know it's got to be real safe when they're getting paid back. And if there's a risk, I want them to be fully disclosed as to the risk they're taking when they go into those investments. So when I have people come on and joint venture with non-performing seconds with no equity coverage, they know that this is a very aggressive, growth-oriented investment, and it's speculative, right? So, great questions. Anything else on that? All right. How many of you do this deal? All right. How many of you like it where at the end where you got a little jingle in your pockets, got a check that comes for the next 10 years? You'd rather not leave your 13 in there. You'd go find another one, right?
Right.
Do that. All right, let's do this one. This is actually a really, really good little case study. It's a second mortgage. The first one was a first mortgage. This is in Daly City. We didn't share this one last time. And I hadn't written this one up. This is one of our older assets, but I wanted to write it up because there was a couple of unique things about it. So what we knew when we purchased, whoops, look at that. Someone checked that. Is that my grammar? Little to no equity. What's wrong with that sentence?
John did that slide.
John, that was all John. Who's got my laptop up there to change that to little
I'll
to no?
It right
and
here.
Oh, you got it? You're a good man. So are you changing it right this second?
I will.
So I want to show you guys something. I'm going to step out of the workshop. I'm going to show you why we love Google Apps. All right? Can I just show you that really quick? This is real time. So is it done, John?
Good. Hey, I gotta find where you're
Coach Mark?
I wasn't on that.
Mark.
That's right, John. I call him John.
Yeah, I just got it.
John's already on.
You already got it?
So oh, when I was throwing John under the bus, it wasn't this John, it was my John.
No, I was saying it was this John. So if I go just real quick, while you guys are doing this, right, I'm gonna escape, right, because I'm actually in a Google presentation right now, if you guys did all that, right? So see how it says little to no equity now? It's been changed, and all I'm gonna come over and do right here, see on the top right corner where it says present? Mm-hmm. We're gonna go ahead and present again. Magic, little to no equity. So Travis, unfortunately I look really silly right now, but I'm gonna show you how fast you can have someone help you, right? All right, so senior lien on this one was current and modified, right? And they had actually created an additional payment room for us. Now, at the time, there was little to no equity. It's a California asset, right? Great credit profile. Look at the credit scores right there. Pretty good credit. What would that be considered for you credit experts? Is that like a A- or is that a B+?
B+.
So not as good as I thought.
Yeah, right?
So, but look at the next line, because this is a really important line item. Their only black eye was what?
Your junior.
Our junior. 4 or 5 years ago. Does that make sense? No BK. So write this resource down if you haven't. We won't have time to get into this today, right? But this is something, if you want additional training, right, you can look online. There's a little bit. Kristen's really good at it. Some of you may be interested in further education when we get it. But PACER, PACER.gov. Every single document that's part of a bankruptcy, right, is public record. And you can actually go and check in a heartbeat to know if there's an active BK on any file you're thinking about buying, any loan that you're thinking about buying. And you can see every, for 10 cents a sheet, if you want to, when you're doing further due diligence, you can see every, on the docket, every single play-by-play of a bankruptcy. What might be, why might that be important? Are you limiting the number of times you can file BK at 13?
No.
So, and a 13 on a second, if there's no equity, they can strip out your lien. So you want to just make sure this prior, like these people have something to fight for. Everything else is current. Do you think they want to go through a bankruptcy? Chances are on this one, could I push them a little harder through foreclosure? If it was marginal equity or no equity, and is there some emotional equity here? Pay all their bills, yeah. Right? Great credit scores. We found out they were county employees. So do they have a county retirement? Like, you know, because they work for the county? That they got some retirement there that's going to kick in for longevity and tenure. Are they going to leave the area? No. Probably not. So you see how the story kind of unfolds, right? Two-bedroom, two-bath condo built in 1979. So I think that number's high. Kristen put that in there, but I know it was high 2900 or something. But it was obvious that there was emotional equity and private ownership, right? So just look at these really quick. So pretty crazy. This is up in Daly City, San Francisco, or you know, up near San Francisco, right? But look at this. So you guys, if you want to try and figure out what that is, that a low payment on 500 grand? Is that pretty low?
Yeah.
That's a moderate payment, right? So there you go. Fair market value. That's actually what it is today. Right? So what's happened over the last 18 months that we've owned this asset?
Appreciation.
So that's really good. That's a good thing for us, right? So our current outstanding principal balance is 119. At the time of purchase, that's what the arrearages were. So do they owe us that money?
Yeah.
Yes. Can we negotiate with that money?
Yeah.
To get them, at the time they hadn't paid for like, I think it was 5 or 6 years. Right, so let me just show you why I love second mortgages. Right, non-performing seconds, right? Late payments, there's a total out arrearages and lates. So on this one, we could not get them to call. They kind of called us initially, but then they went dark. Didn't take Kristen seriously. Right, so we actually initiated foreclosure. Right? We were talking at the break. Write this down. Trustee Corp and Special Default Services. They're a foreclosure trustee in Orange County. They're in 12 different states, and if they can't help you, they will recommend people to do. They sponsor a lot of our workshops and come speak. Some of you, how many were at our summit? I know there's a few of you that went to our summit. You met them, they spoke. Why I love them as a foreclosure trustee is guess what they invest their personal assets in?
Notes.
Non-performing notes. And they're very heavily invested in seconds. You know, first as well, they buy it right there. They're building. They bought as a non-performing first mortgage. So the building that their business is in, it's probably
what Matt Kelly works for?
Yep,
yeah,
Ryan
so
Johnson.
I just got to make this statement for anybody that ever gets an opportunity to go to one of your events and if you get to meet Matt Kelly. He's one of the most unique individuals that I've ever met. He literally sounds like a talk show host, the announcer on the back screen.
It's kind of like Ben Stein, too.
Yeah. But guys, I promise you, you don't know a human being that's more of a technical walking library around the do's and do nots and the technicalities of foreclosure and notes and deeds of trust. Just a walking library of information. He can quote state statistics and state statutes from 50 states, and it's pretty powerful, very informative.
And what I love about Matt is he's one of the biggest givers and sharers and perpetuators of awesome, timely, key information to your success. And so he's huge. They write, We appreciate them writing sponsorship checks to help pay for lunch when people come to our events, right? It's really nice. And they're one of our key partners. But you'll see there, we actually signed on with them. We initiated foreclosure, had them do it. So we had some legal fees right there, about $1,151 in total lender fees. What are lender fees? Underwriting fees, processing fees. Who gets to keep those if you don't have in-house counsel? Some of that might go to counsel if you haven't reviewed your docs, but after a while, are you using the same docs? So who gets those fees? Us. So that's awesome. So total outstanding balance, look at that number, right? So behind, and at the time, we didn't have equity coverage. So we still wanted to push them because we weren't afraid that they, so here's some numbers. Right?
Those rents were the right rents too, Travis.
Was it really?
Yep.
So that's amazing. I guess it would make sense if it's up in that.
I thought it was 2,900 and I just looked it up again.
Okay, good. Good, good. So you'll see those numbers. So all in 20, 20 minus that. So that's actually those should be deducted. So Kristen, bless her heart, helped me prep those. But what's my all-in number? Am I including those forbearance fees and loan processing fees? Those are additional money. So that would actually, I'd have less in the deal. But so these are on there just to look. Whoops. Let's see if it comes in. So I'll come. So that's our. Let's use that all-in number. It's actually better than that. Right? It's less than that. But I'll show you what happened. I want you guys to see this timeline. Remember the sales stats. Right, how it takes some persistence to track these people down. And one of the things that we've done, the pendulum has swung for us. We were like, when we first started out, these people are gonna accept our help. They want us to help. They're gonna call us back. Like we got a good deal, right? It didn't quite happen that way. And we realized we had to get a little more, so I'll just show you these. These are just some actual, these are pulled from our software, right? So finally, 6 months later, Travis thinking they were going to call back, we sent the file to foreclosure. NOD got recorded, 724, right? So look what happened the minute the NOD got recorded. How long did it take them? So we called soon after that. They didn't call us then, but then they did reach out to us on the 17th. Why do you think they reached out to us?
Because they got it.
If you see the email thread from these people, they went and they really did their due diligence on whether they should keep the home because they were thinking of walking from 174, right? But they actually came back and they checked with the realtors, all their options, what's this actually worth? So we got an email that says, what do I need to do to keep my home, right? So what do? We're a bank. We have to underwrite that file, right, to see what they qualify for on a loan mod, right? So we got the packages in. So now, what's happening? Why are they calling? Why would you think they would start calling every day? What's happening? What's approaching? The sale, right? The sale's coming. Forbearance terms released to the debtor. So they actually looked at the forbearance. It's a forbearance loan mod agreement, and we kind of use an agreement that, you know, sometimes we'll do trials, sometimes we'll have an agreement that's already done. There's a forbearance period or a trial period, and then they actually, it's going to convert. So it's interesting, these people claimed insolvency, like, I got no money, right? And we said, well, we can't do much for you if you have no money. Because we always try to get our initial investment out if possible. We're searching for that, right? But we'll take second best, if we could take half of it off the table, is that good?
Yeah.
So we just found out, is that I could probably pull together 10 grand. Well, great, because that's exactly what it's going to take you. Do you know what I mean? So on this one, Aaron, if I remember right, this is a trial plan still before it goes into a permanent, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we negotiated 650 on this one, right? 650 a month. Whoops. You guys remember our initial? Right, so that's actually what we did. So this one's coming up where they'll roll into a permanent mod, right? You guys see the numbers on that? So 650 a month, and I don't think we had what their original payment was, but that was at least a $300 reduction for them. And after underwriting, that's when we felt like, you know, still not putting them at risk. So they're gonna roll into a permanent mod. So do they have a little skin in the game on this one?
Yeah.
Right, they're paying 650, the colorful little handwritten check comes every month with a coupon. It's just awesome, right? So just real quick, and look at that. So they have they're going to have 37,000 waived coming up on September 1st for completing their trial. Do they have incentive? Did I have to waive all that?
No.
No, I didn't. On that one, we did, I think it was a 2-to-1 matching, something like that. So I don't think we did. Before I do that, who can give me a quick yield on that? So we had, let's just say 22 in, right? Minus 10, right? We got 10 grand down. So what do I got into this? 12,000. What's my monthly payment? That's what the new payment's going to be. So it actually, I gave them where their payment will go down. That's not till September 1st. That kicks in September 1st. Or maybe it was August there. But how many of you guys would do this deal? At 605 a month times 12, what's that?
7,200.
Divide that by 12,000. Who's doing it? Divide it by, that's just a simple, divide it by 12,000, right? Who's got it? That just, it should give you a point number if you don't want, it's not a percentage yield, but if you converted that to percentage, what would it be? Who did that for me? 605, 69 times 12. What's that number?
72,68,28.
72,68,28. Divide that by 12,000. Why 12,000? Who did I lose right there? So all in, now let's say I'm 22 and change, right? I got 10 grand down, I got 12 grand net in the deal. Right, so what's my return?
60.56
cash on cash on that asset. Right, now it's part of a pool. Right, it's part of a pool. Now this is full transparency. We bought 45 assets on that particular pool, 19 or 20 assets still to work out in that pool. And we just got done meeting with our joint venture partner up in Orange County. We went through and ran through the whole portfolio with them. We're at a 22% net to the joint venture partner on the whole pool. Do you think this asset helped?
Yep.
So on a blend, do you guys understand a blended return on the pool? Does that make sense? So when we buy a pool, we assign a loan level price. So in your QuickBooks software, you actually assign a price to that loan. Does that make sense? Did I lose some of you? So if I buy $1 million of debt for $200,000, what did I pay? 20 cents on the dollar, right? So I can now go on each of those loans, whatever the unpaid principal balance was, I can assign a value based on 20 cents if I want to do it that way. That's one way to do it, just a blanket assignment. That's what we did on these, right? But could you go, and if that our bass fisherman who had full equity coverage, could I say that that might have a higher value than a note where there's no equity coverage?
Yes.
You could. So you can play with those for tax purposes, right? Based on how you want to value those, if you really want to. But I think that was it. So quick question before we move to the next one.
Yep.
And I'm going to come over here and give a seminar right over here. Because these people are still here and they're like, I got you. I'm in on that one, right? So that's a good deal.
So two of us. Jack's on real quick. So they had so a couple things to here, I'll just look so you don't have to look back. So the first, just to put it into perspective about cash flow, because we get this question a lot, it comes up in our 2-day intensive workshops we do. So the average rents are about $3,500 on that one, and I just verified it again. So the first mortgage was how much? Do you remember? Just $2,300 and some change. Okay, so the second was $650, so they're sub three, okay, just under $3,000. Now we still have their impound accounts and, you know, taxes or insurance or whatever. So the idea here is we're making it affordable again for them to be able to stay in their home and creating a win-win situation. Whereas if now they shift over here and we foreclose and take the home from them, and they're now out renting, right? They're almost at just a little bit over than what they would be renting, and it allows them to stay in their home based on what we're, the terms we're modifying and creating a situation for them to stay. Does that make sense? Because that's what we're trying to do, is really help them out. We don't want to take the property from them, you know, kick the family out. And if, so if we put that in perspective, so we're underwriting the file and going through these numbers with them, we're sharing that information out with them. Like, well, you know, if you rent the same place, you're going to already pay $3,500. So you either have to downsize and get cheaper rents, or why don't you stay in your home? We'll create something, a situation for you to stay, and you'll just pay a little bit more than what you would if you were to rent, and now you can stay. So does that make sense, what we're trying to do and go through to put it in perspective? But that's kind of a different mindset, even though, let's say, they, you know, the house was underwater or whatever the situation might be. All those kind of variables start not to matter, because that's their community, it's their home, it's what the rents are going for, and everything else, and we're just trying to create a situation for it. Does that help? Okay, good.
Yeah. Questions about that before we move on to the next one? Any questions, burning questions that are just on the tip of your tongue? You're like, how are we doing? It's like, I'm looking like 4:10, you guys ready to go? Like, Coach, what do you typically do? You know, remember the night I came here to speak? Uh-huh. This place, I don't know if it was just the evening, like I was like, whoa, people were bouncing off the wall. Remember we said I want to keep it an 11? Come on, hang with me here.
Boy forgot his fireball, so that.
His fireball. Okay, so we good? Can we go? You guys want to see one more of these?
Sure.
A couple more of these? All right, let's go through one more. So this one here, very unique. This is in Coachella, California. You guys know where that is?
Yeah.
You ever heard of Coachella? Music lovers? Any music festivals around here?
Coachella. Yeah.
Right, real big deal, right? So anyway, out by Palm Springs, Indio, the desert, right? Real hot out there. So Aaron and I, we actually, we talked about the power team, that one slide with all your different people on your team. You can actually hire people to go knock doors for you and take pictures and do occupancy checks and do all that, like REO Broker we use. We have some other ones that we use, but we happen to be out in Palm Springs for an event with the REOMAC organization that they put on, and I got invited to be on a panel out there. So we were actually out there, and we thought, why don't we go knock this door, right? And we decided to do that, and so we printed off the assignment, original deed of trust, original note, assignment of deed of trust, endorsement chain. We had it in there. Put in a FedEx package to make it feel all important. We go knock on the door. And to our surprise, and at the time, the house was underwater. The first was underwater, right? So we're knocking on the door because we'd heard people said, hey, just go knock on the door and talk to them, see what they want to do, see how they want to take care of this debt. How many of you would just have no desire to knock doors, be honest? Be honest, you have no desire to knock doors. Now, be real honest now. Now you can be real honest. You just don't want to knock on the door. So, you know, I actually did some missionary service for my church, so I ended up knocking some doors, so I had some practice, right? So we went and knocked on the door. The guy opens the door, ex-Marine, lets us right into his kitchen table. In we walk, right? And he thought that this obligation, who are our lenders in the room? You guys remember New Century?
Yep.
Anyone remember New Century Mortgage?
Serious subprime.
Right? So they were a subprime mortgage lender that you fog a mirror, they're giving you a loan.
Yeah.
Right? And GMAC ended up buying all of their, I call it toxic paper, because, you know, they're like, you know, if you've got a bunch of underwriters and they're like, you know, exceptions, you know what exceptions are in the underwriting world? Right, they're like, wink, wink, you know, yeah, they look good, let's go ahead and push that through, underwrite it, fund that sucker. And it was just unbelievable. This guy had a first and a second purchase money, right, on both his first and his second from New Century. And how do we know all this? Where do you think we were looking to find this out?
In your
credit report, right? Who bought all the assets from New Century? You wouldn't know this. Just, you want to be students of what's going on in the marketplace. You can sign up for Google alerts, right? So GMAC, there you go. Thank you. I'm glad someone's awake. It took John to like keep me on track here, guys. Come on, work with me. Don't make me look silly up here if I make a mistake like that. So anyway, thank you, John. Right? So GMAC bought it, right? And so they had modded the first. So he went, you know, the interest rate was just out of control, right? So he ended up getting a mod. Right, then got another mod, and at this point in time, anyone know the trail? GMAC, a lot of those assets ended up at Aquin to service. Right. right? So Ocwen has a lot of those loans. Anyone deal with short sales in here in their past career? You know, Ocwen's not super fun to deal with, right? But
the other redheaded stepchild.
Yeah, so anyway, so this guy had gone through Ocwen, and as we sat down at his table, he thought, I was told that this was tacked on to the back of my loan. The second was tacked on to the back of his loan. What was tacked on to the back of his loan?
His arrearages.
His arrearages from his first, right? So come to find out, we go through it, and when we bought this loan, we've done some verification on what his actual first loan mod was. He had to provide it. And we got him to provide a few things, and he was all going to work out. He wanted to stay in the house, and he just went dark on us. Didn't answer anything back, and we kept trying for about 60 days. And it was one of those things, man, this guy let us in at his dinner table. But surely he's going to want to stay in his house, right? Did not call us back. So we had to make the call to initiate foreclosure. Right, and so here's a situation. Let's just go through this real quick because I want you guys to see this. So UPB on the first lien, $190,000. So the modified rate on his first, this was his second modification. So it was at 5.5 at the time we knocked his door. And so he did send us one email back during the process. He's like, I'm trying to get another modification on my first, right? I'll deal with you guys after. You guys need to wait. It's kind of his posturing. Right? Did we need to wait?
No.
Could we have waited?
Yes.
Did I wait for a little while? No. Trying to get him to talk? I did for a little while. But the 4.2%, what's amazing about that, right, is they actually, what they had deferred on the back end through the second mod, Ocwen. John, did we get those slides for those side by side? Are those somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to cue that up and show them how they know that. But what happens is, in fact, are those close? I'll come.
Yeah.
I'll get those at the break and show you guys how you know. But sometimes you'll see a payoff from 6 months ago, and with these second round of HAMP and HAFA and all these loan mods, they're actually doing principal write-downs. So he had this big old chunk after we had bought the loan where the principal got written down on the first. So this deferred principal balance was adjusted, wiped out. Right, thanks you taxpayers, right? You know what I mean? But you see where I'm going with that? So what did that do for me as a second mortgage holder? Is that good or bad?
Good.
Why is it good?
It
created additional spread for me, right? You know, for our position. So as you look, so the rents in this area were about $1,500, right? Just a rent. So is it pretty skinny if I foreclose to take this house back?
Yeah.
I just wanted the guy to pay, start paying on his second, right? So look at those numbers. So he stopped paying. It was a $73,000 original note. How long did he pay on it for? It's like a two-payment default on that second. You know, those purchase monies through New Century. A lot of people couldn't even qualify for the first payment, right? So you'll see, look at the arrearages. Just insane. This guy was totally set up for failure. And he did string it out a little longer. Outstanding attorney fees, $3,100. So that's the total outstanding balance that we had submitted to him, say, hey, we gotta have this. And you see, we got the timeline. So we'll just run through the timeline here real quick. You can see some of this. So there in May, hey, I'm trying to get that second loan mod done. Have patience with me, right? And we told him, we can't keep holding the file here. We gotta send it to legal. You're not looking to even make an effort to pay us. He went dark. Right, we left some messages and emails, no debtor contact. Finally, at the end of October, write this down, because I'm gonna give you something before they remind me if I don't get to it right now, but HUD counselor, right? HUD counselors can be your best friend, if they're good. This particular guy got a HUD counselor that was not very well versed and said, these guys are never gonna foreclose. You know, just ignore them. I mean, literally, like, we did a call with them, and the guy was a piece of work, right? It was just, I can show you another one where the guy, we had, the message on hold on your, let me put you on a silent hold, Kristen would say. We're now on VoIP phones that record every call, but at the time she was working off of her cell phone. When I put you on a silent hold on an iPhone, what does that mean?
Just
what
mute.
Button do you hit?
Mute.
So can you still hear what they're saying?
Yes.
So the HUD counselor was on the phone with this borrower. He's like, I'm going to file bankruptcy on these guys. I'll show them, right? He's like, you're going to file, this is up in Washington. This wasn't this guy. It's on another file with the HUD Council. They're giving you, they're cut your interest rate by 4 points, lowered your payment by $300, and you're going to file bankruptcy. I thought you told me you wanted to keep the home. We had this whole thing on audio. And I hope you guys get a chance to hear that at some point. This, unfortunately, this particular borrower got a bad HUD counselor. So what we ended up doing, if you look here, we prepared a trial agreement. We tried everything. We sent a trial agreement out, real good little deal for him. He didn't believe us, and we filed the NOD down payment. We're going to sale if we don't get it. So finally, I did postpone it over Christmas, you know, to not have your house go for sale. So we postponed it 30 days. Who wants to, exactly, that literal, your house didn't go, right? So we received an email, he declined it. And it was beyond his reach at this time. He couldn't make these payments. And I think he had honestly been advised by this guy, they won't foreclose. And so what we ended up doing, we actually foreclosed. So we submitted bidding instructions to the foreclosure trustee, and it went to sale on the 20th of January this year. And we received the trustee's deed upon sale and transfer of ownership to us on the 29th. So this guy, through the automated system, there's ways you can find out if they make their payments, right? So at this time of the year, we're really busy preparing for our upcoming summit. We're working on our portfolio, but we had 300 people coming into San Diego for our annual summit, right, on note investing. And so I waited 3 days to see if he'd make his payment. He makes his payment. Right, so whose house is he paying down?
Yours.
Mine, right? Our group. So then we go through our summit. That was at the end of February, for those of you that were there. Then, so I thought, let's just check in on him March 2nd, because he made it the 2nd of every month. Guess what he did on March 2nd? Made his payment. 1363, made his payment. So this guy had no clue that we foreclosed. So at this point in time, I said, you gotta email him. Email him the trustee's deed, show him that we took it back. And so we did that, and he's just like, he's beside himself. He's like went a consulted an attorney finally. He's like, yeah, they own your house now. You know, and well, are they got to pay off Auckland. They got to pay off my first mortgage, right? He said, no, actually they don't. You know, and so all these things are starting to happen. He was like freaking out. And he's going back and forth pretty much on a daily basis with our asset manager. Well, what do you got to do? I know you guys paid. Now he's even in a worse position than he was before. I know you guys paid pennies on the dollar for this. Why don't I give you, $5,000 more than, he kind of pulled that whole concept of, let me give you, I want to stay. What would it take? And we'd actually send him, he had a chance to give us $40,000 and we'd walk, right? Because we were into it, I think 11 plus foreclosure costs right around 15, right? So what happened on this, going through the timeline, I just want to show you this. Ordered the payoff, received the call, asked him if he could borrow from friends and family or from a 401k. We had the recorded call on that day. It's very interesting just how they don't understand what happened, right? That you actually own their house, left a message. So he actually said he's gonna go try to go out and get his dad to get a line of credit on the house so he could give us the $40,000, right? So what happened is nothing was happening. I finally said, hire the eviction attorney. We need to move on. We need to turn it, because he wasn't paying off anymore. It was now a month down. We just thought, okay. So then it was really a bummer, because I did not want to drive up to court. This was the day before, with someone who was here, David was at our workshop with you guys, right? David came down, and the day before our workshop, I had to go spend the morning, 2.5 hour drive each way up to Palm Springs just to show up. And guess what I did? I get there and he knew me from when? When I sat at his dinner table. He's all suited up like this with his wife. Hadn't met the wife before. Real cute gal, all done up, nails, everything. They got money to pay, right? He comes walking out of his truck because I got there early, and he comes right up to me and he's already like, we've got to keep our house. What can we do? Is there anything we can do? Because we've been trying up to that date. We put an offer on the table. If I got to drive up there, the deal's different, right? You got to come up with the $40,000. And we even offered him a kind of a pay plan, and he didn't take it. So I have to drive up there, and I'm kind of frustrated. I think that's on here. Email exchange and negotiation. We tried to do a lease option with him at that point. He didn't understand the option. He's like, I don't know. I have the attorney. And we just said, just put $15,000 of option money in our bank account. and sign it. We had the whole agreement all done. He met with one of our REO broker contacts up there. Brandy Sweetgale helps us. Didn't do it by a close of business. So I go to trial. He's begging me, talking to the attorney. This guy's been doing it for 20 years out in Palm Springs, and he says, I've never seen anyone want to keep their home more than this guy. Is he legit? Can you give proof of funds? You know, and so anyway, so I get there. I drive all the way up there for, guess what, in front of the judge. 30 seconds for, we continued it for 2 weeks to try and work something out. Right? And I was so mad. And I just turned around and I come out of the courtroom and he's like, you know, and at the time I was thinking that I was just, you know, this old codger attorney said, why don't you just go give him a second deed of trust? You know, do it again. You'd have to foreclose again, but just do it, take the money, go for it. You know, and let me just show you, I think I got that right here. So that's what I was planning on doing. That was my plan, right? You guys understand that? So I have title. I'm going to give him time to transfer title back for a new second note, right? And the guy, because he's got 15 grand, right? So let's just see if I got that. Spoke to debtor
agreement. How do you know he has 15 grand?
I don't. He's saying he does, right? So I filed for 2 more weeks, really believe. And the guy had this aura, you know, when you're just like freaked out. And the wife, I mean, it was one of those things where he seemed sincere. Could have been buffaloing me, because I watched other people that were purely just trying to buffalo their landlord. Like, they're all sitting out on the side, you know? And you could just see, this guy seemed real interesting. I mean, here's what happened. So I'm getting ready to go do all this paperwork, and my family vacation to Mexico is right as soon as I get back from our workshop. So I gave 2 weeks continuance. I should have given 3. So I get back, and I got 3 days to get this deal done. And when you talk about Matt Kelly, I want to share with you guys why he's such an important person to have on your team. So I'm getting ready to go do a new loan. I'm not a mortgage loan originator. You got Dodd-Frank, you got all these things. I'm like, really, can I, like, what's stopping me from just doing a simple deed of trust? Really nothing if I want to do it, but am I now qualifying? We've done some qualifying, so I thought, I'm gonna have to foreclose on this guy. He says, let me just call Matt Kelly. I'm sure he's had this problem before. Right, guess what Matt Kelly tells me on the phone? He said, why don't you just rescind the sale? If he's truly got 15 grand, and he gave us, you know, he gave me a where I could bring the loan mod back and all the back payments as incentive that they would not be forgiven. Because what happens when you have a sale? You lock in some losses. There's some different tax issues when you resell it. Now you got some different tax issues where you're paying on money you didn't get quite yet. There's just some other issues. And so he gives me this whole structure on how to go back and do this. We go back, the guy loves the deal. Immediately, and I had 24 hours before I'd have to go to court again or completely throw out the eviction and pay another $1,000 to start over on an eviction. So I'd have to drive up again, and this guy, I said, he has to wire, show proof that he wired money, you know, the 15 grand before we do it, right? And he ended up taking the deal. And so if he pays, he's got 5 years to pay, it was 45 grand. So, you know, his settlement was 40. But since I had to go up and drive up and spend a day, I tacked 5 grand on. You know, just said, sorry, bud, that was the deal. Had you funded it? And so he just said, okay, I really want to take the deal. So I think it's here. Let me just see. Yeah, so new principal balance. Here's what we did. So we brought back the principal balance, right? 30,000 is interest-bearing, 9.99% interest only for the next 5 years. And this deferred principal balance, if he actually paid me off in 5 years, what does it do? Disappears, evaporates into thin air. If it doesn't, where does it go? What happens to it?
It's tacked on.
It comes back into play, right? So it's all on him right now, but we got the 15 grand. I think it's here. And you guys see that? Just look at that really quick. That's some key language. New principal balance that is eligible for forgiveness in the loan mod agreement. So it's eligible for forgiveness. All of it depends on you doing what you said you're going to do. Do I have him in now?
Mm-hmm.
But literally the day, the night before I was going to have to either make that decision, it was one of those ones where I'm like, I do not want to go to Palm Springs again and burn all day. And he sent over his banking that showed the wire. And we did do an escrow on this because I wanted to make him feel better. I think he just felt like, well, these guys screwed me over. I'm like, for $200, we had the gal do it through escrow right near him, right? So he wired there. I think it's okay. That's just some of the languaging right there. You guys are going to get these slides. So 5 years to get that done. And we don't have the numbers. I thought I'd have the numbers on that. But so it's 200, so who's got that? 30,000, 10%, it's right, $249.75 interest only. So I got, literally, I had 15.8 in the deal. I got 15 back, I have $800 in the deal. We're gonna get $249 interest only for 5 years and a $30,000 balloon in 5 years. If he doesn't give me that, then he owes all that back money.
So did he start paying his first again?
It's due for this, literally it's due in, what's the date today? His first payment is July 1st.
First mortgage,
the conditions of the term, the conditions of our mod, is he had to show that that was brought current. And he was 3 months down.
Right.
So he, you know, we can look, I don't think, Kristen probably has already looked to see if he made payments. In fact, this is kind of a cool deal. Through HUD, there's a program where you can't be more than 2 days down, or 60 days down, it can be 58 days down. So she, Kristen, because she wants to help the homeowner, right, showed him how he could make two payments and go apply for some assistance to get help on those 60 days where they would cover two payments for him. Not guaranteed, but all signs indicated that he might qualify for that. But that gives him more money to make sure he can make our payment, right? So Kristen offered that resource to him, and that's something that's key. So anyway, but let's just do that. Just to end this segment before we, I know we're right at the break time, but before we got 2 minutes, I want you guys to do a quick calculation, because I want you to teach how you just go do that. Let's say you got 1,000. Let's just be generous and say I still got $1,000 in there, right? So 249.75 is the monthly interest-only payment on $30,000, right? It's a new amount that is going to accrue interest only in the loan mod agreement, right? So 249.75. This is just straight up calculated. We're not using the variables. Times 12, right? So what's that number?
$29.97.
Now divide that by what? How much do I have net in the deal?
600 or 1,000.
$1,000 divided by 1,000.
299.7%.
Okay, now for those of you who kind of, you know, lunch kind of got to you a little bit, right? Lunch kind of got to you a little bit. You weren't really engaged. And, you know, you didn't know if those deals, those returns were a little bit shaky. How many of you do that deal? We're going into break now, so like, all right. So, but literally, that's loan level price, but that's a hard return. That's your return on that asset. Is that return going to pull up? That when I went and met with our joint venture partner and we're running at a 22% clip, this deal hadn't closed yet. So, what does that now do to the overall return on the overall portfolio? Just went up again, right? And the 15 grand that came in, so it's going to lower our basis. See how it lowers your basis? You get a settlement in, your basis gets lowered. So that 22% is figured out on what they had in. 15 would reduce the basis again. See where I'm going? So from here forward, the returns just keep getting better on some of these blended pools. So again, guys, this is an active, I'm showing you on some of these non-performing things, we have a bias towards that. I wanted to show you that because there's a lot of opportunities with that. I showed you how to take a deal that you guys could be learning right here at one of your monthly Outback meetings, go do it, buy it creatively, sell it creatively, and the returns. Like, think about these returns that you can do if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and get the specialized knowledge as it relates to creative finance and your investing. You guys can crush it.